I'm to be a downer to start out with. Failure is just a part of living. The truth of the matter is that all of us have failed at something sometime in our life. Now, there are little failures, and then there are big failures. A little failure would be losing your keys and spending 35 minutes looking for them, and you finally find them there in your pocket, the same jacket that if you would have really checked thoroughly to begin with, you would have found it and saved yourself a half an hour wasted time. A little failure could be forgetting to pick up something at the grocery store. Not that any of you would ever do that. A little failure could be a parking ticket because the meter expired and someone ticketed you. A little failure could be getting a cold because you consumed too many sweets, candies, and cookies during the holidays. None of you would do that. Then there are big failures. Having severe financial problems because of your spending habits. A big failure could be getting in an accident because you were texting while you were driving. Naughty, naughty. Big failure could be becoming an alcoholic. A big failure could be a failed marriage. As flawed sinnerlings, we all have failures of one type or another. In fact, the Bible is filled with people who were failures. Moses had a temper failure. David had a lust failure. Nebuchadnezzar had a pride failure. Abraham had a faith failure. Samson had a woman failure. It was Thursday evening. There were 12 men sitting around a wooden table. They were gathered there to eat a meal together. There was a feeling among them that this particular meal was going to be different than any other supper that they had ever eaten together, and they had eaten together often. All of a sudden, their leader said something that totally shocked them. He says, "I tell you the truth, one of you is going to desert me." They looked around at each other and said, "It's not going to be me. Who could he be talking about?" And then he led them in what we know as the Lord's Supper. But then he said something really, really shocking to them. He said, "Tonight all of you will desert me." To this surprising statement, every single one of them claimed, "No, we would never abandon you." There was one voice, however, that was raised among them all, that was particularly passionate in his denial that he would desert his Lord and Master. A few hours later, that very person, who had declared his unwavering support of his Lord and Master, was swearing up and down a blue streak in a courtyard in front of a fire, claiming that he had not ever even met this phony named Jesus. A few minutes later, Christ passed by in that courtyard. They were within sight of each other. And as he passed by and his eyes met with the other man, complete failure does not even begin to describe what this man was feeling. His feeling of failure would even deepen. For the next day, as he watched from a safe distance, he saw his Lord and Master bow his head on his chest because he had just breathed his last and he had died on a cruel Roman cross. Even if everyone else deserts you, I would never do that. In fact, I would rather die than desert you. And maybe no human being who has ever lived, just maybe, no human being that has ever lived has ever felt more of a failure than did Simon Peter that Friday in Jerusalem. To be perfectly honest with you, I'm surprised that he didn't try to do the same thing that Judas did, to end his life, to end the misery of the feeling of failure that he had. Now, fast forward, if you will. It is a period of time some 2 months after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus has ascended to heaven. He is with his Father. And the Christian church has been birthed on the mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Peter is one of the key leaders of this early fledgling church. And he works to mentor these new believers in what it means to live a Christian life. Acts 2:42 says this, "They joined with the other believers in regular attendance at the apostles' teaching sessions and at the communion services and prayer meetings." That's the Living Bible paraphrase of Acts 2:42. The early believers were devoted, dedicated to the communion service, to regular participation in the communion service. Why were they so dedicated to the communion service, Lord's Supper? I believe that Peter had a lot to do with their dedication. Peter was the one who addressed the huge crowd on the day of Pentecost, the spokesperson, if you please. Peter was one of the key leaders, in fact, was the main pastor of that early church. And Peter worked to build these believers up in their understanding of what was important in the Christian life. And Peter possessed that quality where it was a what you see is what you get kind of guy. And he was so authentic in talking about himself that he would have certainly shared his huge, colossal failures with those people. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why the Lord's Supper meant so very much to him personally. And that's why I think he encouraged those believers that he pastored to participate in the Lord's Supper on a regular basis, because they could experience some of what he had experienced. The words that Jesus said to his disciples as he led them in the Lord's Supper must have been treasured more than any earthly diamond or gold by Peter. It must have been beyond any earthly wealth to Peter. This is what Jesus said. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." The forgiveness of sins. For Peter, the big screw-up, the big failure, who had repeatedly disappointed his Lord and Master by his failures, forgiveness meant a fresh start. It meant that his past failures could be wiped clean, and he could have a new beginning through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this meant everything to him. Well, guess what? Guess what? We are offered the same fresh start opportunity as was Peter. The communion service is a symbolic action to impress upon our minds that whatever failures we have been a part of, they can be wiped clean, and we can have a new start, a new beginning through the forgiveness of sins and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, as I pointed out earlier, is the very last Sabbath of 2017, the old year. There are only a few hours left in this old year. And tomorrow night, at a millisecond past midnight, and some of you will be awake, and some of us won't. What would you think about a deacon who threatened to call his pastor after midnight? I wonder who that might be. My friend Michael Berg happened to give me a good suggestion hint. He said, "Turn your phone off, dude, before you go to bed." At a millisecond past midnight, we will be in the new year. 2018. Sounds strange to say, but the new year will be here. And whatever failures, big or small, that we were a part of in 2017, you know what? We have the opportunity today and every day. But today is a special opportunity to experience a new beginning, a fresh start to the forgiveness of sins in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, I would invite you to think of the Lord's Supper as a fresh start ceremony for forgiveness of sins. And as you hold that bread in your hand, be reminded that Jesus went to the cross and had his body broken so that we could have forgiveness of sins. And as you hold the cup in your hand, be reminded as you look at that grape juice that Jesus shed his blood so that we could always have a fresh start with him through Jesus Christ. A fresh start opportunity. That's what our communion service, the Lord's Supper, will be today. I'm going to invite Ken Newman, who's going to serve with me as an elder up. The emblems of the Lord's Supper are very simple, but they're very profound. And as we hold them in their hand, they're meant to relate to our senses. We can smell the bread. We can feel the bread in our hand. We can taste the bread and taste the grape juice. May these symbols not be something that you've done repeatedly over and over again that you don't even give a second thought to. But may they be a fresh reminder of the new beginning that we have through Jesus Christ. We will remain standing, but Ken Newman's going to offer a prayer of blessing over the emblems.
Dear kind Heavenly Father, be with the blessings of this food that's prepared for us, that reminds us of your bloody blood and your body that were broken for us to live in forgiveness that you offer for us. Thank you so much for that gift that you've given to us. We ask in this name. Amen.